Welcome, True Believer readers, to another episode of Let's Read Spider-Man, the best podcast to break down hard-hitting dialogue such as, I mean, I have to consult a financial advisor before I buy a subway token. Sure hope I can keep up once we're married. Here to provide analysis of that line, and so much more, is my friend Eddie. How are you today, Eddie?
I am recovering from my daughter's, she's recently turned 13 and had a sleepover with several of her friends. It was a quite a riotous time. So I made a little bit of recovery, but managed a short nap today. I think Peter should consult a financial advisor before he does everything. Wouldn't that be very wise, right?
You're still hung up on the fact he gave $1,000 for his rent, and I had no problem with that at all. I looked at it like he was prepaying his mortgage or something. It didn't bother me in the least.
For a man of such stability as yourself, James B., but for someone who regularly buys and does things he should not be doing with money, Peter.
We've had Peter do a lot of things over the years, buying hats for his aunt and a couple times, actually.
Yes.
But today, we're going to be talking about the wedding issue. However, I did say through the years, I thought it'd be nice to go back and just remind everyone of all the wonderful annuals that we covered through the years.
Sheesh! I missed the Silver Age. Browsing Annual 1, I forgot that Doc Ock traps Spider-Man in a giant fishbowl so he can defeat him in a manner most befitting my name. The silliness of this book is so goofy.
Yeah, I think listeners know the Sinister Six plot well, but one good thing I remembered about Annual 1, it was the first time I realized the Vulture was underrated. He's the only one with reasonable ideas and a plan throughout the book. One bad thing I remember, and we discussed on the podcast, is that it was also a book with too many cameos promoting other titles. Eddie, this annual would be reprinted again as Annual 6, which we'll talk about in a little while. We covered this book in episodes 13 and 14 of our show.
That's a while ago. Well, Annual 2 is where I first learned that when I see Doctor Strange, don't get excited. It's crazy what a boring character he is for having so many weird powers. Spider-Man just doesn't fit in his realm. Ready to move on.
Yeah, Annual 2 was one of my least favorite books. Spider-Man was way too casual for being trapped in another dimension. That was episode 18 of our show. Annual 3 was a fun podcast. It was episode 28 of our show. If you want to see us really make fun of a book and hear the real anger for me about annuals, look no further than Annual 3, which focused on the Avengers, considering bringing Spider-Man into the team. We've brought this up over and over again. Listeners of the show would know that. The Wasp is a real jerk. Daredevil's the butt of so many jokes. Peter is selfless for not the first time in this story, though, the way he deals with the Hulk.
Yeah, well, it really casts the Avengers as like a hapless group of people trying to make a decision. There's so much infighting and disorganization. I have no idea how they ever get anything done. So
in Amazing Spider-Man Annual 4, we have the Wizard and Mysterio romance. Eddie, why don't we just remind the listeners here how this goes?
I must confess that I didn't believe your asbestos suit with those jet flames would enable you to impersonate the Torch so successfully.
I must admit that your talents were a great help to me in improving my suit.
Reading about the villains flattering each other is so funny in this book. It's great. And that it's set mostly in a movie studio is super fun to have them flying around. Moving on to Annual 5, it's when Spider-Man goes to Algeria to learn more about why his parents were killed and thought to be agents working for a spy, but they were actually double agents. Spider-Man finds the Red Skull and fights him. It's super interesting to get some very important backstory about Peter filled in. This could be my most important annual, James B.
Interesting. I remember we covered that with Alexia Lalonde. She appeared on our show. She taught us a little bit about art because she did the original logo for our show.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Spidey also kills the Finisher by sending an armed missile right back into his tank. It's the first time I remember discussing Spider-Man actively killing somebody. Annual 6, we talked about, it's just a reprint of Annual 1. 7 is a reprint of 3 different Amazing Spider-Man books. 8's a reprint of The Amazing Spider-Man 46 with the Shocker. 9's a reprint of the Green Goblin, the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine, volume 1, issue 2, the color one. So that brings us to Annual 10, right?
Yeah, and this is where Spider-Man fights the Fly. Unsurprisingly, the spider defeats the Fly, but J. Jonah is the one who pays Dr. Harlan Stillwell. This is the brother of Farley Stillwell, to create the Fly, so we see him creating supervillains again.
Don't have a lot of families out there with brothers Harlan and Farley these days that I'm aware of.
It's true. Uncommon.
Eddie, you always remind me, too, that a fly can't beat a spider. So, yeah.
Just not possible. Like, choose a different insect, J. Jonah. Dragonfly would have been a much better choice. Well, Annual 11 sees a guy pay 3 circus dudes to wear weird costumes and names them the Spider Squad. They barely put up a fight against Spider-Man. Aunt May is arrested while protesting for senior rights, and Peter pays the $200 bail. That was what I thought was most entertaining in that book.
Yeah, I don't remember these dudes in the weird costumes at all. I do remember, though, they had the bonus Chaos at the Coffee Bean.
Yeah!
When the musician has his fake a robbery, and he ends up looking like a hero, so he can be a famous musician, but, you know, whatever. Spider-Man just catches them.
I feel like I didn't read that one very closely, because I would have liked any time the musician is trying to con the public into making him a more famous musician.
I guess agent's involved in it. You know, that's what it really comes down to, because agent is part of it.
Yes, so. Correct. Well, Annual 12, Peter heads to Canada on the Bugle's dime to answer a telegram from Pierre Rimbaud, but gets mixed up with General Thunderbolt Ross and the Hulk.
Yes, but don't forget, Eddie, Peter goes on a date with Rumbold's secretary, Miss De Leon.
A woman I am definitely not interested in.
Well, that's not what you said the first time. I think what you said was...
That would be hard to pass up, but I am sadly a married man, so sorry. I got thrown off. I didn't mean to say sadly I'm a married man. And redo that. I was like, wait a minute. That sentence didn't come out right.
Yikes.
One more time. And when she leads him to Rimbaud, Rimbaud is a shot, putting him right back to where he started. So,
yeah, no answers. Doc Ock was big around this time. He was involved in that whole mess, and he was involved in the next annual as well.
It's true. In Annual 13, we see Peter go undercover to expose Doc Ock's latest criminal ring. He's assisted by an FBI agent that turns out to be a ghost. And although Ock gets away, he catches the main baddie, Jimbo Ryan. Best part of this book is the detailed illustrations from John Byrne. Thank you, sir.
That ghost is always a character that I remind everyone knows Spider-Man's identity. Don't forget the ghost. Yeah, John Byrne book. John Byrne's really known for the key X-Men stories, the Phoenix one and the Days of Future Past. He also did some later, like the Fantastic Four ones that maybe we'll cover in some way. I don't want to talk too much about them.
Wait, speaking
of the Fantastic Four, Eddie.
Oh, Annual 14 has Doctor Doom pull demonic powers from another dimension. The demonic power hypnotizes most of New York, and Doctor Strange is captured and bound trying to stop him, or stop it. Spidey swings into action and saves Strange, while also helping send the demonic powers back to Dormammu. Trippy and weird as always, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Mr. Comics came on and helped us cover that issue, if I recall correctly.
That was the Ben Sinister. I didn't mention that everyone's chanting Ben Sinister as they are hypnotized.
For good reason, we didn't mention that again.
Weird book.
Annual 15, Doc Ock is going to poison newspaper ink and kill everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But Spidey and the Punisher stop him. J. Jonah attempts to run a story of how he stopped Doc Ock from poisoning the ink. And Jirabi's like, many people might not want to buy a paper that could have had its ink possibly poisoned. So they're just running a regular, like, you know, Spider-Man is a Menace story instead.
Annual 16 gives us the origin story of the new Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau. She gains her powers from destroying a machine created by a madman on an offshore oil rig. This all takes place in New Orleans. Unfortunately, her powers are unstable, and she seeks help from the Avengers and Fantastic Four. Iron Man uses his suit to drain enough of her energy off to make her stable. And Spider-Man occasionally fights Captain Marvel and some other random criminals. I'm not sure if this actually qualifies as a Spider-Man book, but it's a really good story.
We get a Peter Parker story, Annual 17. It's when he goes to his high school reunion, and one of his friends is mixed up in some blackmail, man. And the Kingpin gets involved. Yeah.
Super confusing.
Yeah, hard pass on 17. However, Annual 18 is absolutely one of my favorite annuals, if not my favorite. Peter learns that J. Jonah Jameson's getting married to Marla Madison, and I know that Spider-Man gives Jonah a kiss, but John, Marla, and J. Jonah Jameson face a scorpion. They try to fight him. They're really no match. Spider-Man just saves everyone. And in the end, John gives Jonah his blessing, and Marla becomes Mrs. J. Jonah Jameson. I'm not doing a lot of justice here, but it's just a good book, well-drawn, easy to follow story, lots of characters running around, lots of fighting. It's
super important characters. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the wedding annual so far.
Yes. In Annual 19, Alfonso, Alistair Smythe, the son of Alistair Smythe, loses his job and research and development with the Kingpin and goes on a rampage in his freshly minted Spider Slayer, looking for the tracker he put in Aunt May's hat. Do you remember the hat, James B?
Yes, very much so.
That was an amazing plot point that I thought was very dumb until I was like, dang, this
he's
looking for his hat.
The hat was floating around before, so I thought they did a nice job of using it.
It was very well done, I thought. Well, he confuses MJ for being Spider-Man and brings her back to his lair. Spidey, enraged at the danger Alfonso has put MJ, Aunt May, and Anna Watson in, tricks Alfonso into running some high-voltage lines at the train yard, cooks him thoroughly, but doesn't kill him. MJ sympathizes with Peter about being Spider-Man, gives him a peck on the cheek during their date. I think it's a date.
Come on, that was two annuals ago. You think I can remember the details on that? Annual 20, alternate Iron Man time travels, sort of. You know, it's a multiverse guy, too. He's not even the one from our future. But he travels back and forth from the future. I know he kills the Blizzard here, but he doesn't kill this little boy, Bobby, who he's supposed to stop. Spider-Man's purpose is to save the little boy and, you know, kind of keeps getting in the way and never has a conversation with Iron Man about this. But it's... Iron Man just ends up going back into the future. It's too late to save his wife and child and countless others from the bomb that adult Bobby planted. And there's a big crater there and way more people died than expected. And you're like, wow, that was a dark book.
It was super sad at the end. But I am very happy to announce we are finally at Annual 21, The Wedding Issue.
From September of 1987, Stanley presents The Amazing Spider-Man Annual 21, The Wedding, by Micheline, Ryan, and Coletta.
While swinging around town, Spidey comes upon a SWAT team attempting to storm a robbery in progress. When the police are electrocuted, Spidey intervenes, discovering Electro is the culprit. The amped-up villain puts up a good fight until Spidey short-circuits him with the fire hydrant and hands him over to the police.
I think Electro's costume is really good as long as those electricity mask yellow spark things aren't too large. In most of these drawings from Paul Ryan, it's a reasonably sized mask. I kept daydreaming, like, I could do this guy for Halloween.
That's what I've always thought, too.
But it's way too big, though, normally. I'm like, I can't make a giant thing, but this was very reasonable. At some point, they make it so stupid, funny. And they put it right on his face at some point.
Yeah.
It looks kind of dumb, but this was, like, exactly right. So... if you're going to do one, I know you make Halloween costumes more than I would.
It's true.
Sure. Do this one. Do the annual 21 version.
All right, James. Well, Peter swings home to get a few smooches from MJ and to call Aunt May and Anna before she leaves for her next modeling shoot. Peter watches as MJ hops into a limo and considers how he could possibly compete with the swanky world that revolves around her. I know he can compete. He's Spider-Man, and there's no other Spider-Man, but whatever, I'm going to continue. At the Bugle, the staff throws a surprise engagement party for Peter, and J. Jonah gives him a check. Don't worry, J. Jonah docked all the staff at the party to make up for the check he gave Peter.
Yeah, it's just weird how that whole thing went down.
Super. It's such a jerk move, too, like, even for J. Jonah.
Betty's at the party. She thinks she's still married to Ned. I thought we were past this. Who cleared her for work? I remember when Betty and Peter were hid behind the desk and giggled as J. Jonah Jameson raged and rampaged around the office. You know, those are simpler times.
Well, Peter returns home with a wedding ring. Although smitten by her future hubby, MJ departs in yet another limo and at work is offered a Ferrari and two tickets to Paris from, quote, Bruce, who is attempting to lure her away from her marriage. MJ ponders how fun Paris would be.
Where were all these romantic offers for the past few years when she was single?
I assume they were just occurring constantly, actually. Like, she's always
spending
them away.
I just remember Alfredo. I mean, if she's getting offered, this guy's like, hey, you can have a Ferrari because I have two. Like, he's only offering this, like, the day of her, essentially, the morning of her wedding.
I mean, getting married, this is like a, you know, this is, suddenly she becomes far more desirable because they're like, oh my goodness, you know, like, my future with MJ is not possible anymore.
Well, speaking of desirable women.
Peter heads to Aunt May's, where he pages through old photo albums, thinks about Gwen, and gets nervous about his impending marriage with when MJ and Anna arrive. Aunt May snaps him out of it and tells him he's a Parker. MJ departs in a Ferrari with Bruce. Peter worries MJ's head is turned, and when she doesn't arrive home until close to midnight, he is agitated. MJ needs a quiet place to think, so Peter takes her up the Empire State Building, an experience far more thrilling than any limo.
Yeah, although the book spends more time with Peter being worried than MJ about this wedding, Peter does take the initiative to visit Flash in the hospital and asks him to be his best man.
Yeah.
Something we've all been expecting since page one of Amazing Fantasy 15.
No. Well, anyways, Flash and Harry throw Peter a simple bachelor party, while MJ gets a private party at an uptown club from all her highfalutin friends. Many of her peers attempt to tempt her away from the dreariness of marriage, and Bruce telegrams her that they can still catch the 4 a.m. flight to Paris on the Concorde.
Yeah, Peter's got a simple bachelor party. He has only two people there. It's just him and Flash and Harry. I'm like, there's not even a Roger Hochberg. Maybe the Red Ghost incident scared him off.
Deep dive there, James B.
It's probably better that way anyway. We don't need anyone else involved in being the Green Goblin or the Hobgoblin, right? That would be such a nightmare.
Well, Peter has a nightmare and thinks about Gwen a lot. MJ is picked up by Bruce in his Ferrari again. Both of them show up late to the ceremony, but in MJ's words,
it's fashionable to be late.
In the end, they get married, and Bruce gives the newlyweds the tickets to Paris for a honeymoon. It's a nice book that shows the awkwardness of Peter and MJ's relationship. I think we could say this is a marriage more of friendship than it is one of passion.
Though we started this project along the way, I asked you who you thought, you know, who all the girls in Peter Parker's life were. I asked you kind of to rank them, and you had MJ as number one, and I told you I thought Gwen was number one. It's 1987 now. What do you think?
I agree with you, James B. Gwen is his real love.
And now, it's 87.
Right.
So maybe we'll both change our minds because, you know, I get off the train right about here anyway. So let's see what happens. Maybe by 1990 books, we'll change our mind. So
maybe. Hey, James B., did you see that Aunt May asked Peter if he wants a Bromo?
I did.
This is a seltzer that was banned in 1975 because it contained the toxin bromine. It was found to be a mild sedative and... But it helped settle your stomach, too.
I did not know that. Eddie, this is a big podcast. We covered all the annuals, and then we covered, you know, the big wedding. So for the first time ever, we were bombarded with sponsors.
Wow.
I've never had this happen. Just literally, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. There's just a whole bunch of them. So
amazing.
We're going to... we've got a lot of sponsors. I apologize, listeners. I usually don't blast you with them, but Eddie, we're just going to whip through three sponsors if you don't mind.
Wow, three sponsors. We've hit the big time. Yeah. Dang.
They found out we're doing a wedding issue, and they somehow felt they could connect this in some way. So real quick, Eddie, today's first sponsor aims to make your ride luxurious and safe with our professional and experienced limo drivers. CC Limo travels to New York City, New York, White Plains, Westchester, any point in Southern Connecticut. Get our experienced drivers able to chat, fight Spider-Man, recommend restaurants, lift 220-pound airplanes, make hotel reservations, rob jewelry stores, provide hotspot limo access. Call CC Limo. We crush the competition. Eddie, today's second sponsor, tabloid photographer Jake Jones, is now Jake Jones Wedding Photog, available to take photos of all people from all angles. What surprises you will find when you hire Jake Jones Wedding Photog. And today's final sponsor is the old Acme Warehouse at the other end of town, a creative and professional space for professionals. A great place for burglars to hide out, to hide kidnap old ladies or startup companies, but also affordable rentals for large gatherings such as the Ladies Literary Club of Ypsilanti or Fright Night, sponsored by the Frightful Floor. Saturday, March 16th, come see Charlie Green and the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra. From ages 21 to 121, there's something for everyone at the old Acme Warehouse, available for weddings and bachelorette parties, not lame ones like Peter had, good ones like MJ had. See their ad in Practical Sheep, Goats, and Alpaca magazine.
Wow, James B. I'm just so glad the Acme Warehouse is still in business. They've been a sponsor of ours for a long time. Oh, I really thought Irving Forbush would be renting out one of these places too.
I do not know who that is. But if you want to see Charlie Green and the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra on March 16th, and you're going to be in the area, let me know. It's only a couple of weeks away.
Okay. At the Acme Warehouse. I could watch it with all the local burglars and maybe take the limo there. With
CC Limo. That's Crusher.
With Crusher.
Creel.
Crusher Oak.
Crusher Creel. Don't get your Crushers mixed up.
They look the same.
Eddie, if people want to tell us that they really enjoyed Memory Lane walk down of the annuals, how could they reach us?
Yeah, maybe they're interested in a Mysterio and the Wizard's wedding, impending wedding. You can email us at letsreadspiderman@gmail.com or click on the link in this podcast description to join our Discord channel and connect with us through social media.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they are getting married. I don't know. I have no information on it. I'm James B., joined by
Eddie.
And remember, listeners, if you're offered a Ferrari and tickets to Paris, take the offer.
Unless you can marry Spider-Man. Goodbye.
Bye. And I texted you a bunch of times today.
I thought this was the other one I was supposed to do.
All my texts say 2:36. Let me know. You got to do a close. So here we go. I'm James B., joined by
Eddie.
And remember, listeners,
if you're going to get married, you should marry MJ. Goodbye.
What? That's not a good close. Where's your clothes? What were you doing when I was texting you?
I wrote 236. I thought you wrote this one, so I did write this one, but I forgot to look at it. So I wrote 237, I should say. What am I going to say here? If you see Doctor Strange, don't read the book. If you see Doctor Strange, oh no, it has to be a wedding thing, right?
I don't know. I don't do these closes for these. This is like, I do the opens, and I find the sponsors.
I know. If you arrive late to your wedding... If you're Mary Jane Watson and you arrive late to your wedding, it's fashionable. How's that one sound?
Let's think about this book.
Okay.
What's the theme in this book? Is it really just about being late to your wedding? It's about having second thoughts in your wedding.
Oh, that's right. If you're having...
It's a lot of people having options and stuff like that. You got to play into those.
Okay.
I think you could do something involving the Ferrari or something involving the tickets or something involving making the right choice.
It has to be like... If someone gives you a Ferrari and offers you a trip to Paris, but you're marrying Spider-Man, marry Spider-Man or something.
Okay. Yeah, I guess something I do like it because the Ferrari's in there. Maybe it would have to be if you offer a Ferrari and take us to Paris to marry someone, take the offer unless you can marry Spider-Man.
Oh, good. Yes. Yes. That's perfect. Yeah. Okay, okay. I like that. Thank you.
All right. And then the break comes, take the offer, and then the one person does one part, one person does the other. So yes. Do you want the...
Got you.
Which one do you want?
I'll take the end. That's fine.
All right. So make that your color. All right. Here we go. Take two.
Okay.
I'm James B., joined by...
Eddie!
And remember, listeners, if you're offered a Ferrari and tickets to Paris, take the offer.
Unless you can marry Spider-Man. Goodbye.
Goodbye.